Good evening, everybody. It's Matthew Tilley here, and I am coming to you from North Beaver Baptist Church, actually, this evening. We had an event here. Well, actually, we didn't have it. It was a homeschool group that uses the church facilities. They put on a dinner for the church folks, invited the folks for the church, and it's called the ASH School for Home Education. So it spells out A-S-H-E, ASH. But that homeschool group uses our church facilities, and they, as part of their home economics classes, they put on a dinner for, it wasn't just the church folks, there were some other people that were invited as well, but I got invited to it. So I got to eat the dinner, and it was, because it's St. Patrick's Day this week, which also, anybody that knows Vanessa, it's also her birthday on Friday, so happy birthday, Vanessa. But anyway, St. Patrick's Day, so they did an Irish-themed meal. And so I'm sitting here full as a tick. It's really good food. I really enjoyed it. And I know the young folks that put that together, and of course the adults that coordinated that for us, really enjoyed that. So I'm coming at you in a different orientation here. So I'm on my phone, sitting in an office that I'm not normally sitting in when I'm talking to you. But I imagine as time goes on, I might take more of these broadcasts here. But anyhow, it's a little different setting, but nonetheless, I think I can give you everything that we're planning to give you out of Mark. And I hope that this different time didn't throw too many of you off. I see now I've got about five or six of you on. So at least a few of you caught up, and maybe we can, maybe you can catch this later. But this is the Seeking Christ in the Scriptures podcast. That's what I do this for. I record these and put them out on a podcast called Seeking Christ in the Scriptures. If you ever take a notion and want to listen to a podcast, if you go on any of them, Apple, Spotify, any of those podcast platforms, and you search Seeking Christ in the Scriptures, you'll find this podcast, and it's in audio form. You get to see my beautiful face if you're watching this live on Facebook or YouTube, but it's also in audio form. But we're going to continue tonight with our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And tonight we're in Mark chapter 4 in verse 21, just picking up in verse 21. And if you'll remember where things were, Jesus has made this transition, starts in beginning in chapter 4. He's made this transition in his ministry. He's now training, teaching his disciples. He's ready to send them out. He's preparing them to go out. And as part of that, he is teaching them through a series of parables. There's the parable of the sower. That's what we looked at last week. That's the first 20 verses where there's the farmer that's casting the seed out. And Jesus is explaining, I believe, in that parable that he's calling all men everywhere to follow him. He's calling them with the word of God. And some are going to listen. Some are not going to listen to that. Some are going to listen and kind of like what's being said, but not be able to endure the demands of Jesus. There are others that just won't give God his rightful place. They will not give him exclusivity. But there will be some, and you saw that in verse 20 of chapter 4. There are going to be some who hear and receive the call of God. And when they do, they will get what God promises. He's promised abundant fruit. Let's read chapter 4, verse 20, where he says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. The point being that those who hear the call of God respond to that call and say, yes, I receive that. I believe it. I'm accepting that call. They are the ones who will get what's promised to them, what's promised by God here, which is abundant fruit. And that fruit, I want to give you this caution. I think you can misread that fruit as to say that you're necessarily going to see, you know, thousands of people come to Christ. And I think that's certainly God can save when and however he wants to. And I believe he does want people to come to Jesus. But there are also faithful Christians who serve entire lifetimes and see one or two people come to Christ. I don't think that that abundant fruit has to be numbers of people necessarily, although it can be. I think that that fruit will be, I mean, honestly, salvation, forgiveness, hope, freedom. I mean, these are the kinds of fruit that we receive because of our relationship to God. So if we're truly connected to Him, if He has called us and His word has implanted in us, there is going to be transformation. Yes, there may be people around us that receive that truth, and I believe that there will be some, even under the sound of my voice, that will see many people come to Christ. But there will also be some, and please don't get discouraged by this, who may not see that kind of fruit, but you're going to see in your own life, if you're honest with yourself, man, the Lord's been patient with me. He's growing me. I'm seeing transformation in my life. I'm seeing a sense of freedom and hope in my own life and having that influence on people around me. That's fruit. And that's fruit that's amazing. I think that there are some people who will think, well, I'm good ground. I'm ready to accept like the good ground where I hear the word and that the ground is clear. I don't have anything in the way. But they're not seeing fruit. They are not feeling forgiveness. They don't have freedom. They don't have hope. They don't even have salvation in that. They don't have confidence in their own salvation, and they don't see salvation in people around them. They're just not seeing that. So what is the difference? Why is there no fruit in those people? And I want to ask it another way. If Jesus has paid it all, and I believe He has, and as the song goes, then all to Him I owe, if that is a true statement, then what is it that we've got to do in order to see fruit? The answer is ultimately, He's the one that does it. He paid it all to Him that we owe, not only in our salvation, but even in the production of the fruit. So once that seed has been sown, once it takes root and starts to grow, what is it going to look like if we're followers of Jesus? What is that going to look like? Is there requirements on me? Is there implications on me? We're going to see what that looks like here in these following, I'll call them words of wisdom. They're not all parables. There's a parable or two in here, but they're wise words, words of teaching from Jesus that He gives us of what it's going to look like in that person who has that fruitful life, what that fruitful life actually looks like. And we're going to see that in these following verses. I want to take just a moment and ask the Lord to help me as I share this with you. And I hope you'll pray as well that He will enlighten you as to what His word is, illuminate the word for you. Let's pray together. Lord, I want Your help to be focused on what Your word says, not just some notes that I have taken or some preconceived notion that I have. I truly want these people to hear Your word, hear Your voice, and respond to what You have. And I pray that You'll help me to focus in on what You've said and to share that and share that alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the first thing that Jesus does is He gives a parable. So again, remember now, to make sure we're understanding, He's said that this is an abundant life if you receive my word, and if my word's implanted into be an abundant life. Well, what is that going to look like? What are the implications of that abundant life? Well, He gives us some of that in verse 21. He says, He gives this parable. I'll call it the candle parable. He's going to explain or sort of illustrate that Jesus life that shows up in a Christian as with a candle. Look at what He says here. He says, "The candle brought to be under a bushel." He says, "Is the candle brought to be under a bushel or a bed and not to be set on a candlestick?" He says, you know, a candle, the purpose of a candle is not to hide it. I mean, you think about when you light a candle, what are you doing? You're really trying to see it. You're trying to light up the room. In the same way, Jesus did not show up on this earth, nor does He introduce Himself into your life so that nobody can know about Him. He is the light of the world, after all. He didn't come to hide, just in the same way that when you take that candle, you don't put it under the bed. You don't put it under a basket. You know, you put it out for the whole world to see. In the same way with our gospel, that truth that Jesus has come, that He's in our lives, and that He has transformed us, It's not something that we want to hide. In fact, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. He said, you don't want to hide this because the very people who need it can't access it. I've heard one preacher say, I believe it was Dr. Mac Brunson down in Alabama, where he says that those blessings that you have, they are for you. In other words, we get them. They've been given to us, and they're blessings for us, but they may not be about us. In other words, a lot of times God blesses us, especially blesses us with salvation, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we get to enjoy him, but it's not about us exclusively. It's actually given to us so that we can share it. Another way to look at this is, if Jesus is truly in us and we have been truly transformed, that truth is going to eventually come out. Look at what he says in verse 22. He says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. He says, listen, Jesus is ultimately going to be revealed. And let me use a fancy word on you, an eschatological truth. This is a truth of the end of the age. There will come a time where no matter what you think of Jesus, he will make himself plain. Paul talks about this in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 2, where he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So there's going to come a time where Jesus is going to be revealed. And in the same way that in that ultimate of ultimate senses, Jesus is going to be revealed, if Christ is in you, you will be outed. The world will know you are one of Jesus's. On Sunday, we were preaching about Peter denying Jesus. People saw Peter. They said, you were with him. And Peter three times says, no, you've got the wrong fellow. But what's interesting about it was that there were three separate people that could look at Peter and say, you've been with Jesus. And I will say, and I believe that's the implication here of this passage, is if Jesus is in you, if you've been saved, if you've got his word in you, it's implanted in you, and you've been transformed by his word, it's going to be clear. On the other hand, you can say what you want to with your mouth, but if your life says something completely different, I'll just be honest, people are going to know. They're going to know. You think that you've got them fooled. There might be some people that you're like, that they're like, yeah, maybe that old Matthew's a pretty good fella, whatever. But they might be fooled. But I will say that the majority of people, they look at your life and they know. Whatever they tell you, and they might lie to you. You know, people do that sometimes. They might lie to you, but they know where you stand. So I believe that your true colors are going to come out. Your true color. You got Peter and Judas, two men who follow Jesus. And you look at them up until the very last of their lives, and you will say they look so similar. But Judas, what does he do? He actually betrays Christ, and he turns Jesus over to the religious leaders. Peter, he also denies Christ. But what happens? He's quickly reconciled to Christ. He comes back to him, and there's a great relationship of love with them. And he actually shows that he is a follower, a true follower of Jesus. So the question is, make this practical. Can other people see what God has done in you? And I think the way they're going to see that are things like, are you identifying with a local church? I think too many people who call Jesus their Lord will say, yes, I'm a Christian, but, I don't really need to go to church. And I'm not going to argue with you about how many times a week you got to go to church to qualify as a Christian. That's a silly argument. But if you're not willing to identify with God's people and say, those people believe in my Savior and I can worship and I can fellowship with him, if you're not able to say that and do that on some regular basis, assuming that your health doesn't prevent you to do that, I would argue you're telling me who you're with. You're telling me you're not with Jesus, you're with something else. If, on the other hand, you say, well, I'm a Christian, I go to this church and I do these things and I'm very Christian-y in my life, but every time you go out into the world, you can blend right in. There's not anything that's a little different about you. You look like, you talk like, you sound like, you do the things that everybody around you do. Again, I'm telling you, as he says here, verse 22, there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested. The truth's coming out. So the first thing that's going to be an implication for you, if you are receiving the blessings of God, if his word is planted in you, you are a follower of Jesus, it's going to look like that his truth, what he's done in you, is going to show on the outside. So that's the candle parable. But then he goes over in verse 23 and gives really just some wisdom here. It's not a parable per se. It's just some wisdom he gives in verse 23, where he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He says, seek to understand what's being given to you. Jesus is saying in plain terms, I believe he's really saying, listen, I'm saying something here. Y'all need to pay attention. That's what he's saying. He said, this deserves focus. It deserves your attention. And he goes on to say, in verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Be careful. Pay attention to what you're hearing. With what measure you meet, so what you give, it shall be measured to you. You're going to get as good as you give. That's kind of what he's saying. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Here's what I want you to understand about this wisdom that he's given here. He says, listen, I'm giving, this is Jesus saying, I'm giving you something. You need to pay attention to it. And he says, if you want more from me, you want those abundant blessings from me, why don't you take, use, enjoy what I've given to you? Let me say it to you this way. When you got saved, whenever that was, and when you heard the gospel and you believed in the truth of Jesus, you repented of your sins, you said, I want Jesus to be my savior. When that happens, you're saved. And salvation, if you can imagine it opening up the floodgates of the grace of God. God's grace is so lavish, it's so deep, it's so rich, there's so much there. And the minute that you understand what he's done for you, you receive that, he opens that up to you and you are overwhelmed by it. Now, here's the thing. If you're saved, and I'm going to put that in quotations, if you're saved, meaning you are saying you're saved, I can't vouch for it. That's between you and the Lord. But if you're saying you're saved and you're not standing in a flood of grace, you're waiting on something to happen. Like, Lord, I just thought I was saved, but I ain't really experiencing. I don't feel any of this salvation, this freedom, this forgiveness, any of that stuff. The question is, have you even received what he's given to you? I believe there are too many people who go to churches, who do religious things and believe in religious things, but really don't know Jesus. Who they may have even as a child said some prayer or, you know, walked through some process that the church that they went to told them to walk through, but there's no real experience with Jesus. And this is why I want to take you back to the first 20 verses of this text, or this chapter, because I believe that there are some people who claim to be Christian or saved or religious or whatever word you want to use, but that seed of God's word is never planted in their hearts. And let me put plain terms on that, that they have believed something somebody told them without actually believing in the one who can save them. There's too many people going through the motions and never actually receiving what God has offered to you. And I just want to make sure before I go any further on this study, I mean, we can study the Bible all day, every day for the rest of our lives, but until and unless you get this, this is a meaningless exercise. You need to understand that the one that I'm speaking about, the one that I want you to know, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross for you. He loves you. He's saving you. He's offering himself as salvation for you. You do not have to pay the penalty of your sins. He has covered that. But you have to embrace him. Don't embrace me as a preacher. Don't embrace me as a teacher. Don't embrace me as a good man. Because me, Matthew Tilley, can only, I mean, I can point you to Jesus, but that's the best I can do. You ultimately need him. And if you will embrace him, you'll grasp who you've got. and that man is Jesus. You will grasp him. There is so much more that comes along with that. If you accept Jesus, again, please don't misunderstand me. When I say there's so much more, not like it's Jesus and then you get a bunch of other stuff. No, Jesus is such a deep subject on his own. There's so much with him. And just to get to know him and get to know, in fact, Jesus even puts it this way in John 17. He says that eternal life, which is something we talk a lot about, you get eternal life with salvation. You know what it is? It's knowing God. That's what eternal life is. So we get that. So again, going back to this verse, he says, listen, pay attention, because what you're given is going to be, or what you give is what you're going to get back. You're only going to get out of your Christian walk what you put into it. He's going to give you grace upon grace upon grace. But if you're sitting there saying, kind of tired of grace, I want something else, then you're not going to get anything out of it. Instead, why don't you, my advice to you is, first of all, make sure you know Jesus. And assuming you know Jesus is, why don't you trust what God's doing and enjoy what he's doing? Receive it. Quit trying to run on your own. Quit trying to find the next big thing. Instead, see that he's given you opportunity after opportunity to grow. I think there are some of you that are watching this that you have opportunities to grow in your spiritual walk, but you won't take them. You've got a Sunday school class at your church. You maybe have discipleship relationships, an older Christian or more mature Christian who may or may not be older, but church activities you could participate in, friends who are at that church that you could be fellowshipping with, but you won't avail yourself to them. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's you think you need something else. I don't know what it is you think you need, but you won't take the things that God has given to you and use them. But if you will do that, this is telling me here that unto you that hear shall be more be given. You're going to get more if you will simply receive it. You want to grow? You want to grow? Take the gifts that God's given, and you'll see growth happening in your life. Now, lastly, he's got this planting parable. So we've already seen a candle parable and then this wisdom in the middle, but now he's got this planting parable that he talks about beginning in verse 26. He says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So he's still using this planting, this farming analogy to help us understand how his kingdom works. And he says there in verse 27, so this man, verse 26, this man who casts seed into the ground, he goes to sleep in verse 27. He rises night and day, and then the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth beareth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then that full corn in the ear. Now, what he says here is, you know how farming works. You go put some seed in the ground, you take care of the weeds or whatever, but for the most part, you don't do anything. You make sure it's got water, I guess, but you don't do anything to make that seed grow up. In fact, sometimes, I know there's some people that can, scientists and things like that, who could probably explain in a lot of detail about exactly how that plant goes from a seed and starts sprouting and all that. But he's saying, listen, if you have heard and received the word, and it has been planted in you, you may not be able to fully explain it. That's what he's saying. He's like, this just stuff happens, and he doesn't know how it happens. But he says, you may not be able to fully explain it, but it will take time, but in time, God will do a work. This is what he's saying here. So if you think about this, if you've ever been guilty of this, especially if you've, maybe as a child, you know, try to plant a garden or something, and you plant seeds out and go out the next day, Daddy, where's the plants? No, you got to wait a little bit for that to grow up. And that's what he's saying here in this planting parable. Trust what God's done. You can't fully explain it. And I think that sometimes some people, and I know I'm one of these kind of people, that if I can't fully explain it, maybe it's not true. No, that's not the case. I can't explain why these lights work exactly, other than I flipped a switch. How the electricity gets around, that's beyond me. I'm not saying it's not understandable. I'm just saying Matthew doesn't understand it fully. The same way, you may not fully understand or fully explain what God's doing, but he is at work and he's going to do a work, and it's going to surprise you. Look at what he does in verse 30. Because in verse 29, he talks about that there is going to harvest is going to come. Then he goes on to say, listen, it's going to surprise you how much is going to happen. Verse 31, he said, it's like a grain of mustard seed. So he talks about this little tiny seed that when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. He said, this little seed, it's like planting. It's like this little tiny thing. But then in verse 32, when it's sown and grown up, becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. His point there is to say, listen, what Jesus does is he uses the insignificant things of this world to do the unexpected things. He uses that mustard seed example to say, listen, he takes that little bitty seed, that's like the tiniest seed, plants it, it comes up and shoots up to be a thing where even birds are now not eating it, but actually making their nests in this bush. So the point is that God is going to surprise you what he does. I think you could take a step back and say it this way. You're never, ever, ever going to be good enough or strong enough to produce God's work in your life. And I know I get frustrated. I'm just going to confess to you. I get frustrated in my own life, in my ministry. Sometimes I'm looking and I'm saying, I'm not seeing this. And I see this in other people. And why can't I get that and get the next thing? And I could recount how I am failing on so many levels. But what I want to encourage you with, and I think this passage should encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus, is it's never going to be about you. In fact, I would almost argue, if you can come and tell me how good you are and how strong you are and how many successes you've had, there's a pretty good chance you're probably doing that in your own power. But I'll also add to the fact that while you can never be good enough and you can never produce that work in your own, you also can never predict exactly what God's going to use you and do through you. It's all in his hands. And he is going to, I think the way Paul writes about it in Ephesians is he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So to try to summarize all this up and to close out this Bible study, I simply want you to hear that what following Jesus looks like is trusting and obeying. It means, yes, when he shows up in your life, it's going to show out. And I'm not asking you or not trying to suggest to you that you need to be lazy or not do nothing. That's not it at all. But it is to say, if Jesus is real in your life, people are going to see it and know it. So you need to trust him. Trust him in what he's done for you. Take in his blessings and thank him for them. And just trust that he's given you what you need. And trust that he's already at work in your life. Even though you can't see it, even though you may not see the, quote, fruit, if Jesus is in you, if his word is planted in you, if you are saved and you're following him, he's at work and there's going to be a harvest. I think it's actually going to surprise some of us when we get to heaven and we are, you know, having that accounting before God about how we served or how we haven't served or whatever that we, you know, what we've done in this life for him. And I think some of us are going to be surprised. And we're going to be standing up there. We're just ready to hold our hat in our hand and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did the best I could. And he's going to look at you and say something like, I don't know what you're sorry for, because I used you to bring all of these people to me. And I think we're going to be surprised at the number of people that are lined up. Some of y'all are going to be surprised the number of people that are actually there because of Jesus saved them working through you. Now, you and I may not know about it. We may not know a thing about it. But this is where I'm asking you, and I think Jesus ultimately is asking you, trust God in this. Trust God in this work. It's his hand, not yours. Your job is simply to follow. I hope that's a little bit of an encouragement to you. It definitely is to me, because I want to see those results right now. But the Bible, I believe, is clear to us. Listen, my job is not the results. My job is to obey. So this week, we've wrapped that up, trust and obey. But next week, we're going to see Jesus makes a promise in chapter 4, starting about verse 35 through 41. He makes a promise to his disciples. And I want you to, if you have a chance to read ahead there, read that, see what that promise is and how he delivers on that promise. I think you'll find that fascinating. And we'll talk about that